Howdy! Thanks for tuning into Orion Photo Group's exclusive podcast. For each episode, we're going to dive into the lives of OPG's photographers and videographers across the country. We're going to talk shop, hear their stories, and listen to any advice they want to offer us up. So grab a tasty beverage and settle in for some fun conversations featuring our little community. That's you. Let's go! Welcome, everyone, for this week's episode of Success Stories with OPG Photographers. I am here this week, super excited to be joined by... Oh, there goes my video. Hold on, folks. Just kidding. Oh, wait, I'm back. Nothing like a professional start. I am here with Jeremy Ellsworth. I'm saying your name right.
Is that correct? Yes.
Jeremy Ellsworth from Kansas City, Missouri, just up the road from us. Nice rivalry between St. Louis and Kansas City. I don't really understand it. It's sort of like the Red Sox and the Yankees, but it's a little more friendly. Do I have that right?
Yeah, and honestly, once the Rams left St. Louis, there's not a lot left to...
Yeah, not a lot to talk there. The baseball rivalry is kind of friendly. But anyway, Jeremy, say hello. Thanks for being here today.
Hey, I'm honored to be here. Hello.
Yes. Cool. I've met Jeremy during one of our meet and greets, and we've known each other for a while, and super talented photographer. We are very lucky to have him here with us at OPG. Jeremy's done about 4 weddings with us since last year, so he just started with us. Definitely a newer photographer to join our crew. And you know what? I think I'm going to start there. You know, your first impressions of working with us and any advice. Specifically, any advice that you might have for a newer photographer who's just joined us as a lead getting out there and shooting their first job?
As far as my take on just being part of the organization, it's actually been great so far. Everything's super smooth from beginning to end. There's not a lot of hiccups along the way. And going out there as a photographer... I've actually shot weddings. You know, I've been a photographer for a decade, so I've shot a lot of weddings as a lead. But coming into this, it's different because I know I don't have to worry about anything other than creating the artwork for the couple and capturing their day.
Right.
So it's a weird paradigm shift because I'm freer to just create because I'm not worried about the back end as much.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense, and that's one of the great things about shooting with us is that you're kind of free to create and do your thing. You go and shoot that day. And I know that when I shot weddings for myself and for other people, you know, when you're shooting for yourself, you're worried about, you know, you're there obviously to create just like you are when you shoot for OPG or somebody else, but you always have things in the back of your mind, like, how quickly am I going to be able to deliver these images?
Right.
When is the album going to be due? And oh gosh, I have 10 other weddings coming up. So it does free you in that sense. So I was just curious what your thoughts were as far as, you know, getting out there. I know, you know, and doing anything new, you know, whether it be shooting for a client or, you know, working for a new organization is always like, am I checking the right boxes or anything like that? And if you think of anything, let me know. We can discuss that.
Okay.
So Jeremy is a nationally published fashion and commercial photographer. He uses his experience of light and knowledge for his wedding work as well. And his portrait work is pretty incredible. Been married for 22 years. Wow. I had no idea. You are too young to be married. You must have gotten married young. And has 2 kids and a great dog. And in high school, you considered going to clown college. That's pretty funny. Talk to me about that.
So it's random, I know. I've been a creative forever. It just kind of works that same kind of part of your brain, juggling and making people laugh. I learned how to juggle when I was early teens.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed it. It was like, hey, maybe there's something there. It's not the corporate world. I don't really want to do the corporate world. But
it's the complete opposite of the corporate world.
It's the opposite.
Or the same.
Yeah, I guess. Yes.
That's cool. And, you know, I'm reading, I do want to make a point. So what I was just reading was from his photographer bio. And these are some things that I've been kind of going over with some newer photographers that are joining us. It's really important, you know, for every photographer that shoots with us, gets their own portfolio page, their own bio shot, headshot, and then bio. And I think it's really important, and that was what you have in your fun facts section of your bio. I think it's really important to include stuff like that, even if it may be totally random, because it makes you seem like a real human, and it's not something that's created by ChatGPT, right? Or some, you know, random generator. It's really about you, and it's a really great way to connect with a potential client who's going to choose you for your wedding. Remember, for every photographer is chosen by the couple or bride and groom for each wedding. So, putting stuff like that is super duper important. And I think too, like, you know, married for 22 years, have two kids. That says to me, if I don't know you, that I sound like somewhat of a responsible person. Right. And, you know, like I was able to complete something. And then I think including the commercial and fashion stuff is really important too. So I just wanted to mention that stuff about your bio. Cool. All right. So that's you. You're born and bred Kansas City area photographer person?
No, I actually grew up first 15 years of my life in eastern Pennsylvania outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And then my dad got a job when I was 15, and you don't have a choice when you're 15. You go.
So you're like my kids who moved to St. Louis.
Yes.
Born and bred in New Jersey. And now I live out here in St. Louis. It's funny, my older one still identifies with the East Coast, but my younger one, he does not know any better. He's St. Louis, but he's going to be St. Louis born and bred for life. It's kind of a weird dichotomy. But one of the questions I also like to ask is, tell me about what was the spark that got you into photography? How did it begin? Did you start in photography? Give me that history.
So as I kind of already mentioned, growing up, I wanted to be an illustrator. That was kind of my dream. So the creative side of things, always been a creative. At some point along the way, realized or bought into the idea that I couldn't make money being a creative and went into the corporate world. And that destroyed me. There was a point, my wife is a historian. She's a social studies teacher.
Wow.
At a university in Northwest Missouri. But she was always the person that had the point and shoot camera. And she just for record keeping more than anything. And the camera she had, I got stolen somewhere, and I bought her a new Kodak point and shoot for her birthday. And I ended up playing with it and using it more than she did. And kind of checked out all the creative things it could do. And I was like, oh, this is really kind of cool. This is a different way to express myself artistically. And kind of went, I wonder what I could do with a real camera. And started shopping and kind of lots of conversations with the wife about, hey, this is expensive, but I don't, you know, I'm interested in it. And at one point she was like, just go for it. And that's kind of, I bought a Canon 40D.
Yeah.
And, kind of ran from there, you know. And when you start out, it wasn't ever I'm going to become a photographer as a job.
Right.
Like, that was not even on my radar.
Right.
It was, I'm going to create. And started taking pictures. We'd go out and just drive around the country and take pictures of the scenery. And then it was friends go, hey, we're having a baby. Can you take pictures of our baby? And I'm like, I can. I don't know if they're going to be any good, but I can take them. And you know, kind of snowballs from there, and yeah, that's how I got where I am today.
So you're completely self-taught.
Completely self-taught.
Wow.
I got lucky early. Go ahead.
I'm super impressed. I mean, your knowledge of, I'm looking through your portfolio as we're talking, your wedding portfolio on here, which by the way, you don't have a bio photo, so I'm going to be all over you about that. Okay. We'll get that up here. So you got to get that fixed, but you have an incredible sense of composition and a really great grasp of lighting. And your couple shots are very, I don't want to say untraditional, but like one of them's in a parking lot with some great lighting. And I'm sure that your clients really connect with that stuff. And I think, you know, and it's definitely more on the masculine side, and that's not an insult in any way. Your style is very similar to the way I was. Like, I liked very kind of like strong lines, mm-hmm. strong lighting, strong posing. It's only a man can create these kinds of images. It's just how we're done. Whereas women, it's very, very hard for men to kind of create that softer yeah. styling pose. So you can definitely tell that a guy shot these images, and they're unique. And it's what I like. Each pose is very different from the other. And I love the use of lines. But for somebody who's completely self-taught, it's really impressive. And I love the fact that you've mixed, you like half of your shots are like in the middle of a field someplace, and the other half are like very industrial, like parking lot, side of a building with bricks and stuff yeah. like that. Really, really cool stuff. I can tell you're an off-camera lighting guy.
Yes, yes. Love my strobes.
Yeah. And you can tell from that. I love the, like, you know, the use of daylight with strobes. It's not an easy combo to mix, and it's a really good mix. So I got to ask, like, you know, obviously, you know, learning, you came from 30D, so I'm thinking that's like, you're looking at about 15 years now in the business, right?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
And, you know, back then you really did have to have a good use of off-camera lighting. Did you just go out and practice, watch YouTube videos? Like,
yeah, so I got lucky early on and got connected with a really good core group of photographers who were willing to share information. Mm-hmm. And that has played a huge role mm-hmm. in my entire journey. Mm-hmm. So I got connected with some great people who were willing to share tips. I spent a lot of time hunting the internet for information. Mm. And even YouTube at the time didn't have a lot of great content.
No.
But there was a web series called Lit, I think, by Joel Grimes.
Oh, yeah.
And I
yeah, that's I a great up. Series. It's still and, a great series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the One Light videos from
Zach Arias.
Zach, yeah.
Yes.
You know, those were the things that really kind of made me go, okay, I love this.
Okay.
I want to do this. And then it really is, you go out and just play.
Yeah.
And you figure it out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you definitely, I know some of the people that you're friends with in Kansas City, and that's a core group of yes. photographers, and they love to share, and they're a great bunch, and I've known many of them for more years than I'd like to admit. Zach's One Light series is probably some of the best lighting scenarios out there, and I have actually learned a lot from him. I hosted a workshop of his in New York City, and he really sparked a lot from me. Wow. That's so funny. Those are blasts from the past. And Joel Grimes too, like, you guys, if you're looking to learn about lighting and composition and also construction and Photoshop stuff, working in layers, his tutorials, nobody better than Joel. He's great, and his tutorials are amazing. So totally would recommend those. Cool. All right. So speaking of education, we're going to move into WPPI, which both of us just got back yes. from. So for those of you who don't know, I used to work for WPPI and Photo Plus. I used to be the director for them. I know I've probably mentioned it a million times, but if you're new to listening to this podcast, I worked for them for about 6-7 years. It was a really great job. I really enjoyed working with them. One of my favorite career moves of my lifetime. No longer working with them anymore. Going back every year is a little weird for me. I'll leave it at that. But have you attended WPPI before, and if so, how many have you attended?
So I think this year was either year 4 or year 5.
Okay.
But they've all been spread out. I don't think I've ever gone consecutively back to back. I think somewhere around there.
Right. So it's been a few years. You probably came to one of the last years I was working there, if that would be, you know, if you were spreading it out. So you've seen the 10,000-12,000 person show.
Yes.
And now we're here. So you probably have seen somewhere in between those two as well. Yep. Talk to me about your feelings about this year's show. Don't sugarcoat it. Just let me, you're not going to hurt my feeling.
I think the last time I was there, it was at the Las Vegas Convention Center.
Oh, that was my last year.
Okay.
Okay.
And prior to that, MGM. So that's kind of shows you the spacing.
Yes. Perfect. For me.
Compared to the last time I was there, it was, both of them were good. This time and last time. I felt like the energy was different at this one.
Hmm. For sure.
And I don't know if that's just because of the last 3 years and COVID, you know, hurting everyone and just wanting to get back to some form of normal.
Yeah.
But I enjoy, the biggest part of me going to WPPI is connecting with my friends.
Yeah.
And the people that I know from all over the country that I don't get to see.
For sure.
So it's, my reason for attending might not be the same as other people's reason for attending.
Yeah.
But between this time and last time, I still feel like it was organized. You were able to get to if you were willing to read a map, you could get to the rooms just fine. But I don't have a lot to say as far as, I didn't run into any problems at either.
Okay.
But I do feel like the vibe this year, the spirit seemed light and happy.
Yeah.
And people were excited to be there. There was energy in the halls, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And, for those of you who don't know what WPPI is, WPPI is a Wedding and Portrait Photographers International. It's a trade show and conference that runs in Vegas every year, generally end of February, early March. It's specifically for wedding photographers. If you're listening to this and you've never been to the show, I highly recommend you connect and go at least 1 year. It's a huge educational platform. The trade show kind of ebbs and flows in size, but it's a great place to meet some new vendors and find some new tools and wares. And education generally is top notch. It's changed over the years. I was the one that launched the photo walks where you can go and do live shoots about 8 years ago. Very hands-on approach, which was something that was never part of WPPI before. This year probably had the most photo walks of any show ever.
It was insane.
It was
how many
crazy
photo walks there were.
And it was great to see, and I'm really happy that they've gone in that direction. Most photographers who are new and starting out want to get hands-on experience. Mm-hmm. This is a great way to do it. It's in smaller groups. I think it's up to 25 people. When I did it, it was only 15. So it's a little bit larger now, but for 50 or 60 bucks each photo walk, it's totally worth it. You got to book those pretty early, and they will sell out. It's gone from, at MGM, it was about 12,000 people when I was there. And then it was kind of dwindling. And then when they moved to Las Vegas Convention Center, there was a lot of hubbub about it. And the attendance really dropped. It was the main reason that I left, because they were trying to co-locate it with another show, trying to save money. The convention center was a really, it's just not a very fun place. And the Westgate, where everyone was staying at, is a complete shithole. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And it was the end of the show. As far as I was concerned, there was no reason for me to be there anymore. And I begged the CEO at the time to not do that. And he said, thank you very much for being so passionate about it. We're not moving. A year later, they went to Mandalay Bay.
Yeah.
So after I quit. A year later, they went to Mandalay Bay. That place was okay, but it was a huge distance between when you walk down from the elevators to the conference. Mirage is great. It's the best location for them. It's where I begged them to go back then, and it was still an MGM property. They said it was no good. It's now going to be the Hard Rock. They're there for another year. So that's WPPI in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But I have to agree with you, to get back to what you were saying. The vibe and the energy is back. There are some very good people running it right now who used to run the show. And George and Arlene, who were there prior to me being there, are two people who are very passionate, know the show very well. Next year will really be a banner year for them. And again, if you are on the fence about going, despite my differences with the people and the show itself, you need to go to the show. It will be a great one. And maybe you'll teach there next year. I have a feeling you're on that road.
We'll see.
and when you're ready to do that, let me help you do that.
Okay.
But I am glad to hear that. But anyway, along those lines, you had a very special year there this year, which is really the main reason I wanted to talk to you today, 20 minutes in, is that And again, I just want to say, somebody who's kind of watched you the last couple of years, you're a great photographer. You're a very talented person. I love the you post your illustrations every now and again, but you started creating this backdrop business, and I'm so proud of you for doing that, because it was such a big year for you. Not only did you go to WPPI, but you drove there and you took all of your stuff with you. So just talk to me about that, because I watched you do it on Facebook, but just talk to us about that journey that you've been on the last 6-8 months.
Yeah. So painting backdrops, again, was kind of a fluke thing. It fell in my lap. If any of you know who Sue Brice is and her platform, mm-hmm. and her education, early on, many, many years ago, one of her videos talked about painting your own backdrops and using a drop cloth and some chalk paint and just going for it. If you don't have to spend a lot of money, you can do it. And I was like, oh, I could probably do that. And never did. And then about 2, maybe 3 years ago, my wife bought me some drop cloths, and they sat in a closet for a year and a half. And until one day I was like, we had moved about a year and a half ago, and in my home, I now have a studio space, and I was tired of spending money on paper rolls, and thought, you know what? I'm going to go pull one of those drop cloths out, and I'm going to try this. And I painted a 9x12 backdrop for myself, and I posted a picture on Facebook, and Jason Marino, if you know Jason.
Of course.
Marino,
yeah.
Jason commented, he was like, dude, I need one. I just need it in red. I need the exact same thing in red. And I was like, what? So I picked up the phone. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what is this? And he said, no, seriously, that looks amazing. I would love, if you can get one in red, I would love to pay you for it. And I was like, okay, let me do some research and figure out if this is something I even want to pursue. And kind of spent about a month or so just researching. Looking at other backdrop companies, trying to find out what pricing was, all of the things. What are the standards as far as the thickness of your drop, you know, of your canvas, and all of the things.
Yeah.
And I had, so my wife, when she bought me those canvases, she had bought me two. And one was seamless and the other had a giant seam down the middle of it. Excuse me. So I cut that one up into four little drop cloths, went to Lowe's and bought the one-off paints for cheap, and experimented, and was like, okay, yeah, I could do this, and got some positive feedback online. And honestly, since then, it's been a slow roll snowball.
Wow.
That's just kind of been building for the last 8 months.
So. And that's exactly what I've seen. It's one of my things. Like, I love the spark and then the energy behind it, and then the work and then the processes. And, you know, I love the fact that Jason was involved in that. Jason's the best guy ever.
He's amazing. He's awesome. Both, Jason and Jeremy are both wonderful people. And
They are.
Some of my hugest supporters.
Yeah.
And cheerleaders.
Yeah. They're and amazing. Definitely cheerleaders for you.
Yeah.
But then, so you made a backdrop for Jason, and then all of a sudden I see you're coming to WPPI.
Yes. So I guess about 6 weeks ago now, I went, I should throw my drops in a van and go get a room at the Mirage.
Yeah.
And kind of this guerrilla marketing tactic of go be present and see what happens. And when I finally made the decision and, you know, reserved my room and put that money forward, I reached out to some other friends and said, hey, who can help me network?
Yeah.
I cold emailed some people. And so I ended up in the Geek Odo booth. I had one of my drops in the Geek Odo booth.
Yeah.
And had drops in the Stella Pro booth through some connections. And then amazing. Stella Pro connected me with Aftershoot. And
amazing.
I got to have a presence on the showroom floor at WPPI without spending any money for a booth at WPPI.
which is such a great WPPI story. You know, obviously the salespeople would have loved to sell you a booth. But what you got out of that is so different. And it used to be one of those things with working with the sales guys where they'd be like, why isn't this guy getting a booth? And I'm like, slow down a little bit. Like, think about what Jeremy's doing. He's creating a business for himself, but he's also providing experiences for all the people at those booths. So you were at the Stella booth where you were doing portraits. You were providing something, a backdrop for those people. And then it was Aftershoot. And then it was, I forget the other one that you said, Geek Odo. And by the way, all these people are great people. Hiram, yes. and all the Justin at Aftershoot and all of those guys are great, great people. And you were able to provide something that they wouldn't have been able to provide. You showed up, you gave it to them, and you provided that service. So It's that energy and community that helps put that show together. And that's one of the reasons that it's exciting.
Yeah.
And that's one of those WPPI stories. And maybe you'll do a booth next year. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll just be providing backgrounds. You'll take it one step further And you'll find a way to sell them. But that is such a, I love it. And it's funny because every time I saw you running around with backdrops and running from one place to another, and I was like, oh, I'm so stoked for him. And that's amazing. So were you able to sell any, or just like the marketing you were able to create was enough?
So I did sell. Let's see. I think I sold three.
Okay.
That I had with me. Two were people that were local and had a car, and they got to take them home with them.
Okay.
Another one got shipped out to Washington State yesterday.
Okay.
And then lots of connections. So I'm already working on some orders for custom drops from that. And it was an amazing experience. You know, my goal going into it was I need to build an email list. That was 100% my goal. And okay. I did that. And some. So like the sales were bonus for me, in all honesty.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't about making money.
Yeah.
It was about connecting, meeting people, getting, you know, I made lots of great connections. Just even people that'll be like, hey, let's be friends. You know?
Yeah.
People asking, shared my information. This is how I paint my backdrops. I'm not keeping secrets. And people were very receptive to that. So,
yeah. And that's the part that I loved when I spoke to you. You're like, you know, what I'm doing is not that complicated. I watched a video just like anybody else. I learned and I did this. And then you were like, people would like take my money. I don't want to do it. which is just amazing. So, okay. Let's talk about, what do you think is the biggest thing you learned in that trip?
Oh, wow.
Or your biggest win.
So let's see. Thing I learned is, so my personality type, I am very much an introvert. And asking people for any type of help for anything is outside of my comfort zone. As a whole. I just don't do that.
Yeah.
After 10 years of being in this industry, and having friendships and connections with people that are somebody in the industry, I was finally able to go, hey, can you help me? And realizing people care enough to do that.
Yeah.
Because I think for me, it was always a matter of fear of rejection. Like they're going to go, well, no, why would we do that? Even though none of the people that I'm friends with, I wouldn't be friends with them if they were those type of people. But it's just that fear for me. And it's always been that way. So I learned that I have friends who are willing to put their name on the line, and now I'm making connections that hopefully I can do that for someone else down the road. And the biggest win, you know, it was just great being there,
Live in person.
Yeah, live and in person, yeah. and getting to talk to people
without a mask.
Yes, getting to talk to people and shake hands with people. That I never would have met otherwise. And it really was like, there was an international audience there.
Yeah.
And that was great. And I met people from all over the world.
Yeah.
And so who knows? There could be backdrops all over the world at some point.
Yeah.
But just the connections, that was probably my biggest win. And getting outside of my comfort zone. I grew personally through this trip, through this whole experience. I grew a ton personally.
I love that so much. And, you know, I forget as an introvert, I'm not an introvert, I'm an extrovert, and I have no problem going up to anybody and saying hello or asking them for something. Yeah. So I forget sometimes, and many artists are introverts, actually probably most are. And so, you know, it's funny, what I've learned, if you walk around the trade show booths, they're all extroverts, and they're like my closest friends, you know, walk around trade shows. But you get up to the educators and the people speaking on the platforms teaching, they're all introverts. Yep. And super interesting because they are so personable on stage and they get up there and they do their thing and they're funny and they're great teachers, and they have this audience in front of them. But then afterwards, if you see them like talking to individuals one-on-one, they are so uncomfortable. It's really hard for them to do that. And then they have to go back to their room and recharge because they're exhausted, right? Takes everything that they can to do that. So, you know, for those of you listening, like these practices are, if you're an introvert, this practice of doing that is really important. And also, you know, I want to stress too the importance of getting out there and getting some live education, whether it's WPPI or going to the Portrait Masters in Phoenix, or going to any of the shows that are out there. Whoops, there's my camera again. Any of the shows that are out there, even if it's a smaller one, you know, get out there and learn and network with people, even if it's not about selling your backdrops, it's just something else, and doing all of that stuff. So, and I know as introverts, that's super hard for you guys to do. So that's neat and good for you for getting out of your comfort zone. I appreciate it. That's a big deal. All right, cool. So we are at about 30 minutes. So that's where I usually like to end these things. Jeremy, thank you for being here today. I really appreciate it. Good luck. Is there a website where we can see where to see your stuff at this point?
Yeah. So Backdrops by Jeremy Ellsworth.
Backdrops by Jeremy Ellsworth. Two L's.
That's my Facebook.
Okay. Backdrops by Jeremy Ellsworth. Backdrops by Jeremy Ellsworth.
Yes.
Check him out. If you need a backdrop, please, you know, show the OPG some love. And again, I really appreciate you being on here today. And good luck with the next steps. You know I'm here for you. And again, for those of you out there who, so Jeremy, thank you for being here today.
Yes, thank you.
Cool. All right. So for those of you, again, thank you, Jeremy. For those of you who would like to share your stories, I love these stories. Please reach out to me. If you're like Jeremy, you're going to get a $25 B&H gift card for being on here today, sharing your story. And I just want to hear from you. So please reach out to me, jgroup@orionphotogroup.com. That's with two P's, jgroup@orionphotogroup.com. I'd love to hear your story. Reach out to me. We'll schedule a podcast and we'll get you on here. Thanks again, Jeremy, for being on this week's episode of Success Stories. All right, that'll do it for this episode featuring OPG's Best of the Best. Would you like to be featured in an upcoming episode, or do you have a suggestion for somebody you'd like to hear from in our little community? Please email me, jgroup@orionphotogroup.com. That's jgroup@orionphotogroup.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing your suggestions. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to hearing from you and your story. That's it for now. We'll see you on the next episode. Have a great day.